All right, welcome one and all. We are officially joined now by our friends at Brighteon.tv on the Robert Scott Bell Show. This is the place for health, freedom, and healing liberty. 2 hours a day, 6 days a week, 1 hour of simulcast here on Brighteon.tv. Thanks to Mike Adams and the crew at Brighteon. I have got to let you know, there's an FDA oversight committee, and they are sucking the eggs. In other words, they're not doing good when it comes to clinical trials, and especially when it came to COVID jabs. Grossly inadequate. Am I saying it? No, we'll tell you where it's coming from. And then this hour, for the first time ever, we're going to be joined by Stella Morabito. She's got an amazing book, Weaponization of Loneliness, How Tyrants Stoke Our Fear of Isolation to Silence, Divide, and Conquer. Sounds a little bit like what they've been trying to do, and maybe for a lot of people doing it. But those of you who are not participating, you're going to appreciate Stella this hour on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We got that and a whole lot more. Come on over to robertscottbell.com. And sign up for our newsletter, text RSB to 22828, RSB to 22828, and we'll get this healing party started now because the power to heal is yours.
Satellite phones have been wiped out globally because of the supply chain collapse and war in Europe. But a truly amazing new option has emerged, the BiviStick, which allows you to send and receive text messages using almost any mobile device without relying on cell towers at all. In a world where war, riots, or a power grid failure can happen literally at any time, the BiviStick and its two-way satellite messaging gives you the power to reach loved ones, to send emergency messages, or request a rescue. And to use this device, you do not have to register your name, and you don't need to turn on location services or reveal your geographic location. The battery life is several days in duration, and you can easily recharge it using a small portable power bank. There are only about 20,000 BiviSticks that will be available in America this year. Get yours now while they're still available at SAT123.com. That's SAT123.com.
It just continues to get more and more maddening, more and more frustrating, which ignites the flame of the fire for this show to continue the fight. And Christopher Key is doing the same thing. This organization, Vaccine Police, I am proud to continue to support them, and I hope that you will too. Go to vaccine-police.com. He video documents everything as he's in the face of these hospital administrators that are killing your community members, your friends, your family, your relatives, in the face of these petty tyrants on school boards, in the face of the, you know what he's doing? He's putting up billboards in major metropolitan areas, waking people up that otherwise would have no idea that these shots are dangerous and in many cases deadly. That information that Karen Kingston just brought us, that's the type of stuff that Christopher Key is sharing with the world. Please go support this organization. Go to vaccine-police.com. Look at the video documentation of everything this guy is doing. It's amazing. I applaud his efforts. He's a modern day hero. There will be a statue of Christopher Key somewhere when this whole thing is over and we win this war. Please support that organization. Go to vaccine-police.com. Again, vaccine-police.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Mark.
And I'm Dr. Michelle, and we want to invite you to our new show, Furthermore, where we bring you the tips about hope, the truth about health, and how to preserve your freedom.
So watch us on Brighteon.tv. We can't wait to see you. We can't wait to spend some time with you. So join us on Furthermore.
Mike Adams here with an operator, a deployment leader on the Texas southern border who's been using these satellite-based BiviSticks for very effective communications. And he's here just give us a few words about how these BiviSticks are operating, how it's helping he and his team.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Overseeing clinical trials for important drugs and injections. You think the FDA could at least do that? The answer coming up in just a moment. Wanted to give a shout out and say thanks to the folks that make this message of health, freedom, and healing liberty possible. And I know y'all thank them too and are grateful. And that includes our friends at Orange Guard, orangeguard.com. This is a safe way to address pests. If the ants are coming in your house in winter, the roaches and things, hopefully not. But if they are, I don't want you to use toxic cancer-causing chemicals for that. How about an EPA-regulated? Yeah, I said that, but it's okay. This stuff, Delimonene from orange peel. And it's OMRI-listed for organic agriculture. You spray it around your home, spray it around your food. You're not going to poison yourself. You're not going to harm your kids or your pets. It's amazing. OrangeGuard.com. You can pick it up at, almost everywhere. Ace Hardware, Whole Foods, or direct at OrangeGuard.com. Also, our friends at Nutritional Frontiers have been amazing in their the quality, the validation, and they have a big Black Friday, what they call them, whatever the big sales coming up to. And The great thing about the Robert Scott Bell Show audience, you guys, is that you get to take advantage of those specials, but you get to add on to them, right? RSB15, the discount code at nutritionalfrontiers.com, an additional 15% off whatever the sale prices are. And we'll tell you about a lot of upcoming deals this week, this weekend, after Thanksgiving as well. We want to get you plugged in. So if you're not already getting the newsletter, please just text my name, initials, I'm sorry, RSB for Robert Scott Bell, to 22828. And Super Don will send you out the newsletter. There it is, 22828 on your phone. Send RSB and you'll be prompted to enter your email address and you'll get up to date on all the news that we're covering in ways no one else is covering it. And of course, the deals and special things that will uplift you and help to heal you. Some of those companies can't say any of these things, but I don't sell any of the stuff, so I can say it. Freedom of speech is here. Party Central, the Robert Scott Bell Show. All right, first, before we get to the loneliness discussion, I have been bringing this up as we saw little snippets of information coming out over the COVID crazy few years we've been through, and some say we're still in. And that involves the clinical trials associated with COVID jabs. Clearly, we're still in those clinical trials. They're still ongoing, yet despite that, the FDA saw it fit to what? Approve Comirnaty and Spikevax as officially approved. Now, they are not available until they get put on the CDC's ACIP committee list of childhood vaccines on that schedule. Then they are now held without liability. So if they injure or kill you or a loved one or your kids, you can't sue them. Until then, they're not. They haven't been available. They've been only as an EUA, emergency use authorization. Now, one of the things you think the FDA is supposed to do is to oversee clinical trials to make sure they're run and conducted properly. And you'd be right. They're supposed to. But are they? Well, this article shows a new published article from the British Medical Journal, the BMJ. I mean, that's tantamount to the JAMA Journal, the Lancet, as well as New England Journal of Medicine. Even though we find a lot of problems associated with peer review and sham peer review existing even there, they have the reputation. So the BMJ is no slouch in that regard. And just so you want, if you want to be sure about this, the bullet points in the article point out the FDA is responsible for reviewing data on vaccines, drugs, and medical devices and deciding whether these products should be approved for use in the United States. And this new report, something we've been covering for a while in the medical journal BMJ, claims that the FDA did not inspect enough clinical trial sites. The FDA has just 89 inspectors for its bioresearch monitoring program. And you're talking about a fraction of those sites, like 9 of 153 Pfizer-BioNTech trial sites, 10 of 99 Moderna trial sites, and 5 of 73 Remdesivir trial sites were even inspected. That's according to journalist Marianne DeMasi, author of the BMJ report. So you have this oversight, and what they're really concerned about is suing one of our friends for what, $500 billion? Trying to find this guy. Who was it, Superdome? We were talking about that last week. It was, he dared to actually...
Napudi.
What was that? Napudi, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Napudi.
I mean, it's like...
Eric Napudi.
They can't oversee the clinical trials that are resulting in products that I argue are outright killing people, if not maiming them, destroying fertility, etc. They're not concerned about looking over that. But hey, a doctor, as Napudi has said, hey, you know what? There's some things to strengthen your immune system in COVID that might be a better alternative, maybe a nice option for you. And they're like, oh, we can't have that. To tell you what the priorities are of the bureaucratic oligarchy, the FDA, the FTC, et cetera. And they're not inspecting the trial sites. We've talked about the study designs themselves at the beginning when we found out that there was not even a parameter to look at the change in menstrual cycles, any female-specific health issues around their cycle in the COVID trials. They weren't even looking when people were reporting this. Well, it's not one of our parameters, so we don't even ask questions about it. Really? And now we're seeing infertility, seeing miscarriages. Just astonishing. Now, for those of you who are with me for many years, this is not a big surprise. But for those of you who are new to the Robert Scott Bell Show because of my appearance on every episode of the, what was it called, Propaganda Exposed on Censored Edition, you might be going, oh man, am I behind? Yeah, well, you got some catching up to do, but we're here for you. We want to get you there so you don't rely on the false authority of the Fear and Death Administration, for instance, in claiming anything that they approve is safe, much less effective. My argument for survival has been if the FDA approves it, you might want to think 2 to 10 times or more before you try it, or maybe never try it at all. And look to the things that they're attacking for, because they're probably the things that have legitimacy, like homeopathy, like naturopathic, you know, traditional naturopathy, chiropractic, herbalism, acupuncture, different things that are actually aligning with the spirit of healing and working with the vital force, as opposed to poisoning the body back to health, which is an absurdity, isn't it? Hi, I'm a doctor. I have a degree, medical that is, and a license, and I can poison you back to health. Did I get a little sparkle there when I smiled? Just amazing how easy it is to dupe the public. There's a P.T. Barnum quote somewhere in there, right? Can fool the people, a lot of them. Now, some of you, many of you, perhaps all of you in this audience have woken up to the foolishness that is poisoning people back to health. But what else is it about the Hegelian dialectic as it's played out through media, through medicine, through, what else? Government? Divide us, conquer us through fear. Fear of germs. Or in the case of our guest this hour, fear of loneliness. Stella Morabito has written a book, and it should be a bestseller just by the title alone. It looks amazing. I haven't read it yet, but I already can tell she's awesome. The Weaponization of Loneliness: How Tyrants Stoke Our Fear of Isolation to Silence, Divide, and Conquer. Let's welcome Stella Morabito to the Robert Scott Bell Show. Hey, Stella, this is a theoretical book, right? They wouldn't actually do this. They haven't actually done any of these things you're talking about, weaponizing loneliness. What are you talking about?
Right. Yes. Well, thank you so much for having me on, Robert. I really appreciate it. There's really nothing new about the phenomenon. I also trace through history how it's been used, but we're not consciously aware of these methods of silencing us in order to control us. We instinctively know that maybe we don't want to say what we believe because we're fearful of being socially rejected. That's pretty common. You see that everywhere. You see the playground in the schools. You see it throughout life. And, we've seen big examples with, say, cults like Jonestown. And of course, on the world stage with dictators like, Mao and Stalin and all of that. So we see these things, but we don't really, the reason I wrote the book was to try to put all of these pieces together and to try to help us understand what the common denominator is, what the common thread that causes really destructive agendas to see the light of day through history and today. And that common thread is our very primal fear of ostracism, which of course, human beings are social animals, social creatures. We absolutely are hardwired to connect with other people. And so whenever we're threatened with, being cast into the outer darkness, being cast out of society, our first impulse is to conform and comply and shut up. But it really only, when you do comply, it only drives you deeper into that loneliness you think you're getting relief from the entire society.
Yeah. Stella, I'm witnessing people finally coming around going, you know what? I don't give a flip if they call me names and don't let me play their reindeer games. I don't want to play in their toxic soup playground anymore. So there's something that's happened that might be different. Maybe there's evidence of it in history where people go, I've had enough and I'm not going to play that game of you trying to cancel me, right? The woke mob, et cetera. It's going on, but there are people waking up. I lost my fear of being ostracized a long time ago when I became, charted my course into homeopathic medicine and natural medicine, because modern medicine would have killed me at a certain point. I realized that. So it's like, okay, they can ostracize me, but at least I'm going to be alive and I'll be healthy. And I can find other people I can hang out with. I don't need them. But the fear of maybe there's no one else I could hang out with if they reject me. Or we place so much power and emphasis on the people that we grew up with, the tribe we had, that we're afraid that if we lose them, we won't have anything. And I'm sure that's part of the process, the technique that made it so effective and efficient during the COVID couple of years we've been through to divide and conquer.
Oh yeah. No, the use of these methods of really social control, there's really no other way to put it, is, you know, longstanding. It's something, as I mentioned, that you can see, you can trace through history, especially these utopian radical revolutions. And you actually see it reflected today in something called the Great Reset, which is just the same old story all over again of trying to control human behavior and human interactions, really. And so I guess where I really see a lot of this going is a war on private life. That's always been the case. You can look at it through the lens of Stalin's reign of terror. People were scared to death of, you know, becoming a, quote, non-person in society. You see it at Mao's struggle sessions during the Cultural Revolution in China. People were fearful of being humiliated and, these mobs, the Red Guard mobs, would descend upon people, for being counter-revolutionaries or whatever. But you're right. I think people are really beginning to wake up with this, with the fallout from COVID and the pretty obvious, at this point, it should be obvious to anyone. Every once in a while, I still see a person wearing a mask at a store or whatever, but yeah. 95%, at least, maybe it depends on where you live, but 95% of the people are like,
sure. Stella, I talk about our vulnerabilities and I ask, you know, what are our ongoing vulnerabilities? I mean, in any given time, we might wake up to what they're doing, how we're being played, and yet they always seem to find another way. Like, what is our vulnerability as we move forward, right? I've said the fear of germs was a big one, which is how they played COVID on us. If we weren't afraid of catching things and we realized the reality of having a healthy immune system, much less how to respond to an immune system that has been weakened, not by poisoning the body back to health, we might not have been as vulnerable to all the statements they made, and they wouldn't have succeeded because we know we don't participate. We don't comply. What can they do? Right. Mm-hmm. But if it's only one bird or two here or there, we've seen them pick off doctors here and there. And now the doctors are waking up to their vulnerabilities and trying to say, you know what? I don't want to be in this system. I want to try and create a new one, a parallel system. I've heard that time and time again in the last couple of years.
Yes. Yeah. No. When all of the institutions are corrupt, and honestly, you know, if you look at our intelligence agencies and you know, government agencies, you look at the courts, legislatures, and then, you know, of course, the media, popular culture, everything is corrupt. And medicine, of course, education for certain. You know, where are you going to go? Well, it's that private sphere of life, your relationships with family, with, you know, your faith communities, with real community, with friends. It's that sphere of life where the real power lies, that can ripple outward, that can be broadcast to create a civil society. And, you know, where people are free to express what they believe, you know, agree to disagree and so on and so forth. And so that's why the private sphere of life has always been the main target of totalitarians, of tyrants. And so they use the fear of being separated. It's so ironic. They use the fear of being separated, the fear of being isolated, to gain compliance that only makes you even more isolated, that creates even more loneliness and atomization in society.
Because you can't, you know, to be with people, you had to suppress your divinity, your spirituality, all the things that bring you joy in life. You had to go, no, can't do that. I'll be criticized. I'll be kicked back out of the family, of the tribe. And many people were canceled because they didn't buy into 1, 2, or 10 or all of the things that we now know were deceptions in the last few years of COVID. So it's a unique time in history, even as you've written a book about a lot of this history, that we've lived through a lot of condensation of a lot of the techniques that preceded it all at one time. And yet a lot of people are being squeezed so hard that they're squeezing or escaping the grasp.
Yeah, no, you put it very well. All of these techniques seem to be coming together in, you know, our times today. When
So there were lots of headlines before COVID about a loneliness epidemic, about deaths of despair through overdoses, fentanyl, opioid addictions, suicide rates spiking like they never had before, especially among youth. All of this sense of alienation and atomization and isolation that leads people into these dark places. And so that was all happening before COVID. Of course, with COVID, that really fast-tracked our isolation because for the first time, really, our isolation, our physical isolation was being enforced from on high, from top down. And you know, I mean, literally, you know, you had to be, you know, 6 feet apart and there are places, astonishing compliance with these vaccine mandates in places, unbelievable compliance, which, you know, is scary when you think about it. And so what's the end game of it all is, it's social control, obviously. Now, I could see this almost from the very beginning. At the very beginning, I was a little nervous. Well, you know, there's this strange virus out there, whether it happened naturally or deliberately, it doesn't matter. There's a fear of death from a pandemic that's out there. Most people, had that fear. You know, they talked about the 15 days, just 15, to give us 15 days, which of course turned into two years. Yeah. And of course, now this is, they've got the amount of compliance I think they feel they need to keep pushing the envelope and pushing the envelope. And we absolutely have to stop and think about this. Mm-hmm. For what it really is. I mean, it's an obvious propaganda campaign, all the so-called information.
I can't see them, let's say, being victorious if we don't comply, if we don't participate and cooperate. They need us or else it doesn't happen. You know, all of the things we witnessed in COVID, had the people said, this is garbage, this is stupid, I can see through it, we're not going to play along, they couldn't have succeeded with any or all of these things. Or even one or two, depending on what but we complied our way into isolation. We want to get along with tyrants, and the tyrants get emboldened. They don't get nicer to us. I think we've misinterpreted how to deal with tyrants.
No, that's right. I mean, we need to gain strength from one another through a sense of trust in that private sphere. And I cite in my book Václav Havel quite a bit. He was the dissident in the communist Czechoslovakia who wrote that very famous essay in 1978 called The Power of the Powerless. And, you know, the whole thesis is that it's really the hidden sphere of life that tyrants are after and that they target, because that's where people get their strength. And if you look at all of the policies that have been pushed forth over the generations, really, whether it's in education or public policy, mm-hmm. so many of them have to do with isolating people. I mean, if you look at the family breakdown, it's off the charts right now. And of course, with family breakdown, you get community breakdown, and you see the war on religion. That's an old thing, really. That goes back to the Communist Manifesto, you know, the war on family, mm-hmm. war on religion. That's really to divide us and atomize us. And then getting back to your point about our compliance, they've somehow managed to perfect this technique, whether they're conscious of it or not. Tyrants, totalitarians very instinctively know how to push the buttons to trigger that very natural and very, very powerful impulse among most people, especially mm-hmm. those who do not have the benefit of a strong family life or a strong private life. I mean, you see a lot of mob members and cult members. They're kind of recruited from atomized individuals. Mm-hmm. And so when you have all of that, it's really up to those who can afford to take the risks or are willing to take the risks, who have something to fall back on,
they're made so uncomfortable that even if they don't have the fallback, they're like, I can't do this anymore. That's happening as well. And I think about the cult of medicine and modern medicine. Doctors are finding out that those who have said, you know, I disagree with what I'm hearing from the CDC, the WHO, and Fauci, found themselves ostracized from their own profession, even if they were the top of their profession moments ago.
Oh, mm-hmm.
That's been a stunning revelation to that crowd.
It's horrible what's happening there. And, getting really good doctors losing their, being threatened with a loss of license. And, you know, all of these things, you know, once you're invested and you have a career, they know that they, gotcha. It's really those who feel they've got nothing left to lose that can really, that tend to at the, you know, when push comes to shove, you know, like if you see what's going on in Iran right now, I guess they feel they don't have much to lose. They're out in the street.
Yeah, they're willing to risk their life, their very lives, to protest or do something right. different that the government would, you know. Look, we got to take a quick break here, Stella. Hold up. Go ahead.
Thank
you. Yeah, hold that thought, and we'll come back in a couple of minutes. They take a break for our friends at Brighteon.tv. We'll be able to talk to our audience that are listening and viewing around the world elsewise. But thank you for being here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. More about, this loneliness thing, how they're using that as a vulnerability to apply and isolate us even further. Stella Morabito is my guest. We'll be right back.
Mike Adams here with an operator, a deployment leader on the Texas southern border who's been using these satellite-based bivy sticks for very effective communications. And he's here just give us a few words about how these bivy sticks are operating, how it's helping he and his team members. And remember, these are available through the satellite phone store, sat123.com. It's satellite-based text messaging, works when no cell towers work or aren't reachable.
We use these to communicate GPS cords to when we are seeing drug runners or people carrying stuff. We've had, bust up to 13,600 pounds worth of marijuana and fentanyl that we have been on operations with in conjunction with federal agents and supporting them in their operations.
So they are pro-America and pro-humanitarian in helping to keep our country and our community safe. Everybody, God bless America. Take care.
Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Mark.
And I'm Dr. Michelle, and we want to invite you to our new show, Furthermore, where we bring you the tips about hope, the truth about health, and how to preserve your freedom.
So watch us on Brighteon.tv. We can't wait to see you. We can't wait to spend some time with you. So join us on Furthermore.
If you don't want to eat GMOs and pesticides in your storable food, choose organic, lab-tested storable food solutions from the Health Ranger store. We are the only emergency food manufacturer in the world that subjects each of our ingredients to rigorous laboratory testing that covers herbicides, heavy metals, aflatoxins, identity testing, and bacteria tests, including E. coli, salmonella, yeast, and mold. At healthrangerstore.com, you'll find certified organic, lab-tested, freeze-dried fruits, microalgae superfoods, protein powders, and supplements. We offer emergency first aid colloidal silver products made with Texas rainwater, and our Ranger buckets feature an impressive assortment of organic storable food items professionally vacuum sealed in heavy-duty bags that are stacked in rugged buckets for long-term storage. Check out our preparedness foods, supplements, personal care, and emergency first aid products at healthrangerstore.com.
Alicia Powell, and I'm the host of the Alicia Powell Show with Red Voice Media. I'm also a reporter with the Gateway Pundit, and I love watching Uncensored Truth on the Brighteon TV.
Here, Brighteon.tv, this is the Robert Scott Bell Show. Our guest this hour, Stella Morabito. Her book, The Weaponization of Loneliness, How Tyrants Stoke Our Fears of Isolation to Silence, Divide, and Conquer, just came out in paperback October 11th of 2022. Today, I don't even know what day it is. It's the 21st of November. Oh, my gosh. Thanksgiving week. And I'm certainly grateful, Stella, for you and the book that you put out. I think it's going to go a long way to help folks to see the techniques that have been applied in history. And as we said, more importantly, they've been weaponized to such a degree, all in one fell swoop here. Question is, have they pushed too far? Has it really changed and transformed that we are awakening, besides the hashtag woke, which is really a sleep state, but really awakening to the game and no longer willing to comply? Or is there still very, very fluid now which way it goes from here?
Yeah, I think it is fluid. But on the other hand, I think people are starting to wake up. They need to be nudged and emboldened more, though. There need to be leaders who just in everyday life, in daily life, can, you know, push back against it and kind of serve as models for, you know, what it takes. I'll give you an example. I mentioned this the other day to someone. It was a few days ago. I was in a building that required masks, and, you know, most no other buildings around there seem to require masks to enter. And I'm not going to mention exactly where it was or anything, but I went in without a mask, and one of the two elevators in that lobby was out of order. And there were a whole bunch of people with masks on, of course, who were gathered around the elevator. But the security guy looks at me, and because I'm looking for the stairway, I'm just going to take the stairway up. And he hands me this basket that has, you know, masks in it. And I just said to him, I just said, that's bullshit. And of course, everybody heard me say that. And what was really interesting was he said right back to me, I know it's bullshit, but you got to wear one. He said,
how it was just not rooted in any reality other than the illusion. And basically, Barack Obama said, but we have to do it anyway.
Right. You know, and so I just said, what are we, just following orders? Tell me where the stairway is, please. Because there wasn't one right there. And he said, well, it's down that way, but, you know, I could get you thrown out. I said, okay, have a nice day. And I just went on, and I just went to where I needed to go. But I it's just like little things like that. I wish I hadn't been quite so hostile. I just wasn't feeling very happy.
Look, I feel you. There are days when I'm like, I just want to let them have it. And you know, we just sort of choke that up, especially when, you know, encroaches on your freedom. You know, we point out that if you want to wear a mask in your car on your own, you look like an absolute fool and a moron, but hey, well, you know, right. you're not violating my freedom at that point, but you want to stop me from being able to breathe. That's, you know, that's where it crosses a line where it's like, how do you delicately, it's the concept of being nice to tyrants again. These people are part of the tyrant's right and left tentacle and arm, and all, you know, like the Hydra. They're part of the tyranny. They're playing it out on innocent people that are not wanting, simply just wanting to live their lives. So at what point do we say politeness is also, you know, not the ideal response, that sometimes we need to confront it, not that we're eliciting violence or intentionally doing so, but to let them know, no, it's not okay what you're doing.
Well, you know, and it's very interesting you mentioned that about politeness, because the what I call him, a mob activist, Saul Alinsky, wrote that famous book called Rules for Radicals. And one of the main rules in there was to use the goodwill of people against them. And that's exactly what happens. We lived in we've lived in a civil society, for generations, and we just kind of assume that, you know, just being polite is the way to go. But we also mimic the behaviors of those around us, even if we, you know, a lot of times it's not quite right, and we self-censor. And that's really important to remember, is it's this self-censorship, this shutting up about what we believe, and sometimes even lying about what we believe. This happens a lot in order to try to fit in or avoid ostracism. That self-censorship is what really gives a lot of oxygen to these bad, destructive agendas. And so when you do call out a guard who, you know, unnecessarily is trying to get everybody masked because it's the rules, and even though the rules have already been proven to be ineffective and don't mean anything, when you point that, when you just make a small gesture like that, that can embolden others who may be masked themselves, who, they think, that pulls back the curtain. Havel talks about that. You pull back the curtain, and even if nobody says anything, now some people, everybody has a different threshold, a different reaction.
Sure.
But it's extremely important at this point in our in our history and what's going on and how the envelopes keeps getting pushed, and who knows what's going to happen next, what's going to be the next domino to fall. It's really important to push back and expose the truth.
I'm not waiting for the kids to point out that the emperor is butt naked and ugly. It's time to, call it like it is. Now, you talk about self-censorship. It's interesting. I brought this up the other day. when I started this broadcast in 1999, I made a conscious decision. I wanted to speak the truth. I didn't want to be censored. And I realized already I'd seen almost 10 years of attacks on, let's say, natural doctors and companies that produce natural products that dared to even reference science in support of their products, you know, for disease, to recover from disease, and how they were viciously attacked by government agencies, FDA, FTC. And I thought, you know, I have this burning desire to speak up about all of this stuff. But if I start speaking about healing very specifically with products that I use, one thing, but that I sell, oh my gosh, then suddenly I would be attacked. I would be censored. I would be threatened. I'd be fined and perhaps jailed. So I self-censored in one sense of my activity, not in communication, but in activating a certain aspect of my economic life to be able to benefit and profit from the things I know are good that I would use and I would sell. So I haven't done that. And you know, I found my way through to speak up and speak truth to power, but it was an economic decision more than a censorship decision, but it was a different kind of censorship. You're censoring certain behaviors that you would engage in economically because it would bring you harm to speak out the truth that you want to relate to anybody. It's a subtlety to what you're saying, but it's another form of censorship, I believe.
Yeah, but there is also a balance. You know, sometimes, especially in this environment, you have to be shrewd, you know, in ways that, you know, without compromising your integrity, you just have to, you know, make those hard calls sometimes. Mm-hmm. The main thing is that people learn through others who can lead in speaking up and breaking through the censorship. Because once you have a great deal of self-censorship, and I have a whole part in the book that discusses a whole chapter on the conformity impulse and all of those experiments, fascinating experiments that were done in the 1950s and 60s on conformity and obedience to authority. And, you know, it's just really fascinating how hardwired these impulses are in us. So they're very difficult to overcome unless you have, you know, a private sphere of life you can fall back on. And even then it can be hard, but still, sure, that's absolutely necessary to keep civil society going, is to have that, what they're called the mediating institutions that kind of stand as a buffer zone between the individual and the mass state, that prevent us from being atomized and isolated. So, but if you keep self-censoring, you're doing all the work for the tyrants for them. You're doing all of their heavy lifting, and then they can start doing these top-down programs of censorship, like the so-called misinformation governance.
Well, yeah, and I was just going to bring that up, because how many platforms have we been banned on? A bunch of them. And then people started getting smart and going, hey, you know what? I can't say the word vaccine, so I'll use a different code word. And they got upset with that. Or imagery in terms of social media, they'd use a carrot instead of a syringe and people would know it. But they would try to find ways creatively to counter the censorship. And that was self-censorship, but at the same time, it was innovative in a sense of, I'm not going to stop saying it, but I know that their algorithms would stop me, but I'm going to do this. And it's like keeping one step ahead.
Oh, yes. No, we have to fight smart. Yeah, in it, you know, you can't just take it all lying down. No, you have to devise ways to get around that and find the weaknesses in their machinery. I discuss something I call the machinery of loneliness, which is, you know, what is weaponized? It's the means through which that fear, that primal fear, can be triggered to bring about the conformity impulse and all the compliance. And, you know, they use all kinds of methods. The political correctness and identity politics is meant to separate us. Then there's the mob mindset. Mobs can be street mobs. They can be HR department mobs. They can be college campus mobs or social media mobs. It's just, the whole idea is to cultivate that fear so that you'll shut up about the truth. And so you've got that. They criminalize comedy. They, you know, develop the snitch cultures and surveillance and, you know, all of these different things. You've got to try to figure out ways to get around all of that stuff.
Yeah. Stell, this is an important book you've written. I really want people to get it. I hope you do. By the way, the website for Stella is also there. She's holding up her book, but the website is stellamorabito.net, MORABITO.net. And in fact, one of the articles right at the lead right now is Conformity and the Machinery of Loneliness. Again, the book you can get everywhere, including Amazon. If you want to buy it there, if you do, that's fine. The Weaponization of Loneliness, How Tyrants Stoke Our Fear of Isolation to Silence, Divide, and Conquer. Are there any upcoming speaking events? Are you going to be at anything out and about that people can meet you?
Right now, I'm just doing a lot of podcasts. You know, I'm doing interviews. I spoke to Dennis Prager when it first came out. I've been mostly just doing a lot of interviews and podcasts. I don't have any, you know, in-person events lined up.
Okay, well, if you do, let us know, or maybe find an event and go to it and start talking to the folks, because you're empowering them with this information. And I love to see people get the book and be changed for the better from it. Thank you so much for what you're doing.
Thank you.
All right, that's Stella Morabito here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, first time, and she's terrific. She knows the history, and I think that's something that is a vulnerability for all of us if we don't know how it works. Certainly, we've seen a lot of it very, very prescient in today's experience, but going back to that history, it will help as well to know other things that they might try to do if they haven't used all of their techniques yet. There are others that are subtle sometimes, but the compliance is really their strength. And so our strength is nullification. You've heard it. I nullify that. And the simplest of things is maybe, you know, in the elevator. I don't know. You got to figure out your relative risk or your actual risk in any given situation. But sometimes the spirit will move you and you're like, "Ooh, I didn't expect to do that." But it was just the right thing to do at that point in time because everybody wanted to take their mask off and they were too afraid to be the first to do it. By the way, Plandemic 3, we got a sneak preview of it at the Red Pill Expo. Mickey Willis put that together. Hopefully we get Mickey back on the show. And they have a beautiful musical montage in the new movie. That we got to see a sneak preview of. That's brilliant. And it goes a lot to the themes we've just discussed today. And the movies, the documentaries, the feature films, these things really inspire people. They can be really uplifting. They can really be programming you as well. But I would urge you to look at what Mickey Willis is doing with media as well. He's doing a good job with that. Now, I know we have more questions of the day as well, Super Don, and also upcoming events. And, you know, I would love to see some of you guys or all of you guys at some of these upcoming events. Have you updated? We've got some new ones coming up. I know in January, of course, the first thing out of the gate is Stu and Terry Warner had moved their event from October when we were going to Orlando to the first weekend of January 2023, which is like right around the corner. It's crazy to think about how soon that'll be. So if we can go to the upcoming events tab, I think you have it in there. Is that it right there? Is that what we're looking at? Go full screen on that so I can
see. January 7th and 8th in Orlando, Florida.
Yes, that's it. And here, there we go. Full screen now. We got Judy Mikovits, Dr. David Martin's going to be there. McCullough's going to be there. And I'll be there, of course. And
Barbara Lowe Fisher.
Yeah. And there'll be a lot of events surrounding it, including Nurse Freedom Network events, a lot of things. It'll be more than just those 2 days. So I look forward to seeing you down there in Orlando.
Doctors Terry and Stu Warner, Robert Scott Bell.
Oh, it looks like
Billy DeMoss. Billy D's going to be there. That'd be awesome. Yeah. Ed Group's going to be there. Paul Alexander. So
yeah, looks like a great, great event. So I look forward
to it. Oh, and you know what? The Next Steps conference is coming up here. I have not had a chance. I got so much stuff flying at me from every direction.
Yeah.
There's a new banner for this. I just got this morning. Look at this. So it's got a visual of all the people there. You recognize a few of those faces?
Look at that. Well, there's Tia Severino. We got to get her on. Polly Tommy, I see. Peter McCullough. Stephanie Lucretio. Sinhang Lee. Wow, PhD. We've had him on the show. Pierre Corey. James Lyons Weiler. Brian Hooker. I'm just going visually here. Who all do I see here? Oh, I'm in there. Yeah, I'm going to be there for that one. And there is Nurse Freedom Network. Yes, Kimberly Overton. And more. So that's happening February 22nd through the 25th, and they've already picked the place, which is unusual. I have to talk to Tia about that. Lanier Islands.
Yeah, we'll get her on the show.
So that's coming up. So we got January in Orlando, February in Atlanta area, next-steps.info. We'll get some ticket links as soon as we have them available as well. And those are just some of the things that are up and coming. I will be attending. There's a Children's Health Defense fundraiser, and Bobby Kennedy will be one of the featured speakers, and there maybe Brian Hooker's coming to that one too, and that will be in the Los Angeles area Friday December the 2nd. thanks to my friends, Dr. Tony O'Donnell and Katie. She's amazing. We've had them on the show over the years as well, and they're hosting it in the LA area. That's Friday, December 2nd. Many of our friends that are going to the A4M in Las Vegas around that time, Natural Immunogenics will be there, I think. They have a number of speakers, including, let's see if I can do this by memory. Nope, I can't. No, actually, yes, Dr. Jack Wolfson. Dr. Jack Wolfson will be presenting one evening at A4M on some real critical aspects of copper as it relates to cardiovascular health. Dr. Jack is a friend, and we'd love to have him back on the show, paleocardiologist. And
he's got something coming up.
Yeah. He interviewed me for an event that's coming up, I think, in the new year.
Yeah, Jack. Mm-hmm. Like I said, this is a crazy day,
yeah,
and week,
yeah,
going on for all of the stuff that, and I'm trying to get it all put together and stuff for this week because we've got just
Black crazy Friday sales,
Black Friday sales, yeah, and stuff and everything going on. I just got the first thing put up on the page that I made on the website. It doesn't go active until tomorrow, but Tuttle Twins has like a 75% off deal.
Okay.
That they're doing. So if you've been thinking about doing Tuttle Twins, it doesn't start until tomorrow, but the banner is up now.
Mm-hmm.
On a bundle. It's like a $300 value.
And wow.
It's crazy. But Jack Wolfson, he's got a thing coming up, and what is it called? I just got an email.
About the Healthy Heart, maybe.
Healthy Heart thingy. That's coming up in February.
Yeah, I'll put that in. Yeah. So that's going to be a good one. Also, if you go to the front page at robertscottbell.com, you can see we have a Health Freedom commemorative silver round. It's kind of like a silver coin, 3/9 pure. It's beautiful. And you can see on it, it says, without health freedom, there is no freedom. In the back, the truth will set you free. And it's a commemorative collectible coin. It's a limited edition. And it's helping to support our efforts to promote health freedom and healing liberty. And so if you're interested in some nice gifts for the holidays, that's another thing you can do.
Indeed. And just below that, I don't know, you probably have to refresh it to see, because I was working on that as you were talking with Dr. Stella. Great interview, by the way, by both, man.
Good stuff today.
Nailed it out of the park today again, Kevin.
Yeah.
good job.
Spirit PR, good work.
I know, right? But just underneath that there was somebody in the chat room earlier that was asking about getting being able to watch the Red Pill Expo again.
Mm-hmm.
And I put the banner back up on the website.
Okay.
And it's just below the coins there up on the right-hand corner. So, and I think that was Laura Pfeiffer.
Yeah, she wanted to know.
Laura Pfeiffer
you can actually have access for a number of months, Laura, and we have the link to get tickets also for the new one coming up in June of 2023. We don't know the location yet, but they're holding the line on prices for a little bit of time. So if you want to go ahead and purchase your tickets for the next one, and if it's in a city you can't get to, it's fully refundable. So don't feel like it's a risk, but it helps support the efforts of G. Edward Griffin and Red Pill University and Red Pill Expo. So yeah, you can still watch all the lectures that occurred at the Red Pill Expo this past, was it weekend or the weekend before, in fact, in Salt Lake City. It's fantastic. So, yeah, still available to you as well.
And so what else? What do we want to do here? We got like 7 minutes. You want to tackle that other question of the day?
Yeah, it's a pretty serious one, but
all right,
we do that from time
to time. Let's do it.
All right. All right. This question of the day is coming from Chris. Chris says, I have a friend diagnosed with a very rare anaplastic thyroid cancer, 42 years old, extremely fit, and did not eat junk food. When diagnosed, it had already been metastasized to his lungs, 50 spots, sacrum, and brain. What information would be good for him? And can you help recommend someone to help, Chris? I mean, look, this is one of those things where you're asking almost at the last minute if it's that severe as you describe it. I mean, this is one of the fastest growing, spreading forms of thyroid cancer that they have in medicine that they know about. And, you know, you say he was fit and did not eat junk food. Well, that may be true in terms of physical fitness on some level, in terms of athleticism, for instance, or not eating junk food. And the question I always have is what percentage of the diet was organic versus conventionally grown? And even then, that's sometimes not enough. Somebody will say, well, Robert, you know, I know some people that eat organic and got cancer. All right. This is not me saying that, you know, it's only about eating organic and nothing else. So that's a big part of reducing the toxicological burden, the exposure of carcinogens and other things. Also, the displacement of minerals that protect us against cancer, much less its metastasis. And I would come back, and Chris, if there's time enough to do so, make sure, and I'm not, again, we're not big fans of Facebook. We've been banned occasionally. We're back on, and some of you are watching us on Facebook now. If you go to the group, Not a Doc, or say, Not a Nurse and Not a Doc, spelled out, Not a Nurse and Not a Doc. That's a group that our friend Chris Barr and Angie had set up. And if you want to focus on 100% whole food nutrition, nutritional supplements that are not synthetic at all, they have a cancer protocol. And I would absolutely engage on all of that that is described. And I go through the basics here because I don't have time to go through it all, but just for your friend, you know, some basic things, even if you're eating organic, I still supplement selenium every day. I try to get 3 of the innate response selenium tablets. That's 50 micrograms each. That's 150 micrograms 3 times a day. That's 450 micrograms. That's not enough for someone with cancer. I would be doing 4, probably 5 times a day. To get 200 micrograms, 5,000 micrograms, maybe the 6th time again. I know there are doctors out there freaking out that you're going to kill them with selenium. That's just nonsense. You're afraid of the wrong thing, especially in the right form. And then, of course, the chromium. We talked about that. There's the chromium-vanadium combination we have from Food Research. By the way, these you can get from choosetobehealthy.com. Our friend Jonathan, choosetobehealthy.com. And you can use the code RSB5 to get a discount on everything once you place your order. The chromium is critical for blood sugar management and sugar management in a general sense, beyond even the blood, to keep the sugar away from cancer cells, any sugar, because it's not only about refined carbs, which obviously you want to avoid, but your body utilizes sugars for energy too. And you want to keep that to your healthy cells and eliminate the access for the cancer cells. So the chromium and vanadium help there in a food form, ideally. And then the silica is so critical for connective tissue integrity. We do the Alta Silica out of Idaho, but we get that through choosetobehealthy.com as well. Those 3 are the basis for everything that I do in terms of supplementation, because you start there. It's not the end point, but the starting point, because the connective tissue is how cancer metastasizes. If the connective tissue is weak, it easily spreads. And it sounds like it's done that despite the fitness level of your friend, as you describe it. Could there be mineral deficiencies like silicon? Absolutely. And then, of course, the copper, the bioactive copper hydrosol. This is the sovereign copper. And that's also a connective tissue mineral, critical mineral. And in some cases, we know that cancer is evidence of growth of fungal species and parasites. Copper is nature's antiparasitic. It's amazing in that regard, too. So there's a lot to consider here when you're addressing these serious, serious manifestations of cancer and the spread of it. Now, with thyroid, of course, we always talk selenium and iodine. A lot of people are iodine only, but you forget selenium activates it, makes it possible. So if you're doing a nation form of iodine, which is great and fine, make sure you have adequate selenium intake as well. And as far as recommending someone, as serious as it is, you know, you might have to leave America, go to Mexico to one of the clinics, whether it's Dr. Tony Jimenez, the Gerson Clinic, any of these things, to get the kind of therapy they're not going to give you stateside, because they would attack and destroy any doctors that did the holistic things that are done at those clinics outside of the United States of America. Just waking up one governor, one state legislator and Senate could change everything by kicking the FDA out and saying, we declare our state a health freedom state, and we are going to allow doctors and all doctors to compete for the healthcare dollar, and we're not going to limit their ability to hang a shingle and sell things for cancer that are not approved by the FDA. Just fully informed consent, though. No deception. And if it is FDA-approved, say it. If it's not, say it. But it's caveat emptor. Let the buyer beware. Let you engage and describe it. This doesn't open up the floodgates for fraud, because I believe what the FDA is doing is fraud and deceiving you that there is no other option for cancer. That's a much more deadly and dangerous fraud than anybody offering something that the FDA has not approved of that is likely, more likely to work and not kill you like the chemo does. So isn't that interesting to consider? Let's see what else has we got to do here as we wrap up. Hey, Super Don, do you have that video of my daughter shooting the BMG, the 50? Is that available to you, or is that too much to ask with a minute looking to left? Because we can go to the bonus round and show that. I'm going to lean that way. I think that I don't want to overwhelm Super Don, because it's very hard out here with our friends at Brighteon.